Talking with TD.
Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. You know what time it is. You are now talking with TD. I am your host, Teron Davenport. This is week two of the NFL season, of your Titans season, coming off a very tough loss. I know it was frustrating for each of you guys seeing Ryan Tannehill and the Titans fall to the Saints 16-15. I got David James over there making it happen.
Yes, sir.
We are going to bring in Jeff Miller from the LA Times. Normally, we bring in an ESPN NFL Nation reporter, but my guy Chris Ream got the job, and he's just now getting on assignment, so I'm not going to do that to him. I'm not going to bring him on and have him talk about a team that he doesn't fully know about yet. He had been covering the Ravens for a bit, so yeah, I definitely shout out to Chris for getting that ESPN NFL Nation job. But in place, we have Jeff Miller coming on, and then we got Chris Sanders for Run TMC. So that's another part of it. I want to get into this game immediately, though. And listen, it was a winnable game. There were some questionable decisions, right? Mike Vrabel early in the game or midway through the game, you know, they had the 52-yard field goal that was made. It was a third down. There was a holding call, and Coach Vrabel elected to not take that call, which would have pushed them to a 3rd and 11 out of field goal position. I'm just looking at it like, okay, you see how things have been going. Now, looking at the stat sheet, the Saints were 7 out of 16, 43% on third down. So, I mean, they were hitting some third downs, but it's third and long. This is a defensive-minded team. I personally think that he should have, and it's easy. Look, I'm sitting here with nothing, you know, on the line at all, right, saying he should have done this or should have done that. I'm just giving my perspective, though. I probably would have taken that penalty and put him at a third and an 11 and had the defense go get him, you know. But nevertheless, there still was a chance to win the game. So later on, it was 4th and 6. 19-yard line that the Titans had the ball. They're down 16-12. It was an opportunity to get a touchdown to go ahead. But conversely, the Titans have been in a bad situation on third down. I mean, they just had their 12th third down attempt, to which they only got 2 conversions. So I understand Mike Vrabel saying, you know what, I'm going to get these points. I trust this defense to get the stop, boom, 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 and make it happen that way. Those were the 2 controversial decisions, right? Speaking of controversy, I don't know. Ray Charles could have seen that Arden Key had a strip sack.
Yeah, exactly.
Ray Charles could have seen it. Now, it's just funny to me, the same situation – last season, the Jaguars safety rocked Josh Dobbs, and I don't know. It looked like the ball was in the same type of forward, the arm and everything, but that was ruled a fumble. This one wasn't. Now, the other thing with that, in Jacksonville, they allowed Josh Allen scooped it up and ran it to the end zone. They let the play out. They didn't blow it dead. Something that close, you don't blow it dead on the field. You got to let it play out. And that's something that Mike Vrabel pointed to when he was asked about the situation. And, yeah, Arden Key knocked it out. Kevin Byard picked it up, and he was gone. What would have been a touchdown. At least let that happen and then review the play. Because if you reviewed the play and then had the right call, guess what? It would have been a touchdown. But with the way that they did it, you reviewed the play, got the call wrong anyway, And if you would have reversed it, then where would the Titans have gotten the football? I just want things to be consistent. I'm not a Titans fan. I'm not a Jaguars fan, a Saints fan, or I'm a consistency fan. That call was terrible. Terrible.
So bad. So bad.
So you have that. But still, there were other things in this game that, you know, you just shake your head at, right? Ryan Tannehill. You appreciate what he's done over time for this team. I will say this. There were two throws that he missed. Obviously, you know, we did it on Whiteboard Wednesday. You know, Tim Kelly actually called a pretty good game, right? Earlier in the game, they had a formation where they sent Spears in jet motion. Nick Westbrook and Kenny had a closed split, and when they sent Spears in motion, NWI became number one. The DB went with them. Guess what you had on the outside? None but air and opportunity. A whole bunch of space. Derrick Henry gets the rock, takes the 18 yards. That is something that I'm sure was stored in their memory. Later on in the game, you get the same look. Spears in motion again. The defense shifts. It was Traylon Burks on that side as opposed to NWI. And then Okonkwo was on a different side. But you still have Tannehill under center. They have the play action. It was a really excellent play call, the play action. And then they put Tyrann Mathieu in conflict, whereas he had to figure out, okay, am I going to go with Spears on this wheel, or do I go with Hopkins, or do I let Marshawn Lattimore go? What do I do? And because of that bit of mental pretzel he was going through, Spears was able to get behind him, and he was open down the sideline. The throw wasn't there. And that's a throw, like, you could even underthrow it some, and Spears could still, like, throttle down, catch it. You know, he got the acceleration like a Tesla. Which, on speaking of that acceleration, he had a run to the left side where he was able to get – he bounced it outside and sprinted past Marshawn Lattimore for – I think it was like a 15-yard gain. That was a heck of a play. If you get a chance, go back and watch that on the end zone, all 22, man. That dude, I'm telling you, got that Tesla-like acceleration. But back to the Tannehill throws, right? That was one you got to make, that one. Then you had the flea flicker. Chig Okonkwo was running down the sideline. You got to make that throw. It may not have been a touchdown, but it would have been a big gain to put them in position. Red zone scoring position, though, that was a problem. They were 0-for-3 there. But, you look at those throws, and then you look at a couple plays into the game, right? Tannehill is rolling to his right, and you have Westbrook Ikhine coming open on a wheel route. Tannehill saw it. He didn't throw it. And then he just kind of like tucked it, and then he said, deuces, I'm running, right? Carl Granderson was closing in on him. He ended up getting tackled by another defender. Colin Saunders was the one that tackled him. It was a 2-yard gain, but that could have been a big play. Now, mind you, this happened after Amani Hooker, his brilliant play on the kickoff, set them up. They got the ball at the 24-yard line. Man, you score a touchdown there, this game's a lot different. It's a lot different. I'm going to tell you this, that dome was rocking. You'd have heard a pin drop if they'd have scored a touchdown there. But nevertheless, they came away with a field goal. Then there was another play later on, right? And I'm just kind of like going through my mental checklist of plays, right? Tannehill was sacked. It was a play where Hopkins was in the slot, and he had an in-breaking route. It was probably, it's a dig. It was probably about like 15 yards, and then cut it inside. Tannehill got the ball, and normally this is a throw that, you would see him hit Burks. Actually, he hit Burks and Westbrook Ikhine on the same throw later. Great throws. Two of his best throws in there. It was one where Burks went a little high and caught it. Same type of route and situation where he normally gets that ball. He throws it to a spot. And he's like, hey, man, you won't get to that spot. I understand you're going to get to that spot, so I'm going to throw it there. And it's thrown before he makes his break. That didn't happen on this one. And then Tannehill ended up kind of recoiling. He moved back in the pocket. And this is something else. He seemed uncomfortable, happy feet in the pocket. in this case, he kind of moved back and he ran into Chris Hubbard. Then he ended up getting sacked. Those sacks are not on the offensive line. Now, I'm not going to say the offensive line was perfect because there was a time where, you know, his interception, right? Andre Dillard, and Mike Vrabel said it, initially he had soft sets, but he got better as the game went on. One of those soft sets was the result of an interception because Tannehill couldn't step into the ball, right? Because Dillard was getting blocked back into him. So there were different things there that, you know, had to get better. Tannehill, 3 interceptions. It was his third time throwing 3 or more interceptions as a Titan. First time since, obviously, the Bengals game, and we know that frustrated him to the fullest. He was in a dark place. I found it interesting when Tannehill spoke at the podium, you know, at his presser. Look, like, we were asking those questions. We were asking. You know, a lot of you guys be like, oh, you guys were never told. The heck if we weren't this time. You can't even bother to say that. But nevertheless, this is what Ryan Tannehill had to say after the questions. This was 4 minutes into the presser.
Guys, I just want to move on to San Diego. I'm not going to answer any more questions about what happened Sunday. What happened Sunday happened. I'm not happy about it. No one in this building's happy about it. But at the end of the day, it's over. We can learn from it. We can move on. And if you have any questions about LA, I'm more than happy to answer.
Hey, listen, that's the sound of a guy who is not happy. And I don't blame him. I wouldn't be happy either. He did, you know, face the music. We asked the questions and it got to a point, like you said, he wanted to move on, and that's understandable. One other thing, though, with the offense, listen, Derrick Henry and his usage. Folks, this is what we saw a lot of during training camp. Derrick Henry and Tajay Spears on the field together. A lot of two-back situations. You could refer to it as 21 personnel, right? Two backs, one tight end, and then you got the receivers there. 33 snaps for Spears, 28 for Henry. You're going to see it be similar to that because of the fact that Spears is going to be on the field on third downs, third and longs, right? And I think, you know, the down and distance, getting behind the sticks early, that's going to alter Derrick Henry's snaps, right? Because, you know, Tajay Spears, he has shown, at least in the preseason and then in the actual game, he has shown that he is a viable option to be. Now, I'm not saying they're going to do this, but he could be a three-down back if you wanted him to, right? So they're going to be on the field together a little bit more. But look, when you have a penalty, right, and it's first and 15 now, right, and then you throw the ball and you get a five-yard pass, now it's third and 10, that's a situation where Henry goes out and Spears comes in. So the usage there is going to be something to monitor. Mike Vrabel, When I asked him about Henry's usage and just, you know, that game being an outlier and him being getting more carries late in the game. I mean, listen, he got 3 carries in the fourth quarter. When do you see a Titans game close and Derrick Henry getting 3 carries in the fourth quarter? That's why Mike Vrabel said it was an outlier. So definitely keep in line with that. I'm going to get into some of the receiver stuff, too. We'll get into that when we go to Run TMC with Chris Sanders, but you got to flip it to the other side of the ball, right? Explosives. They gave up 5 plays of 20 yards or more. A good 3 or 4 other ones were 18 to 19 yards. So we're very short of seeing this team give up, you know, upwards of 7 or 8 explosive plays. Those cannot happen. The explosive plays, right? Rashid Shaheed, the double move. He got Sean Murphy bunting with one. He got Christian Fulton with one. Chris is continue to monitor him, right? I think he plays, but he was limited in practice with the hamstring on Wednesday. Those type of injuries typically take rest. He felt he was good enough to come back and play defense, but he sat on the sticks on that third down, and next thing you know, it's an explosive play, a 41-yarder, and the Saints are in. I'm with Tannehill. Moving on to the Chargers. The Saints are in position to salt the clock away. One thing the Chargers are going to want to do is run the football. They had 234 yards rushing. That's the most that they've had in a game since week 6 of 2018. One thing the Titans are able to do is stop the run. So that's going to be an interesting matchup. You know they take it personally. Here's Kevin Byard on Austin Ekeler, Joshua Kelly, and that Chargers offense.
Well, I think that you talk about Kellen Moore. I mean, it's funny because coming from Dallas, you know, they was throwing the ball over the field where Dak was leading the league in passing yards almost every year. But just looking at the film, I think that they committed to running the football because they could. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a lot of holes, and they was just continuing. I think they ran the ball like 40 times, which is something I honestly don't anticipate happening this week unless we just let them run the ball 40 times and gain over 200 yards. I expect them to try to, you know, really take some deep shots, something that he's really known for. So, especially with a quarterback that has the arm he has and the receivers that he has. So, we're going to have to stop the run first and foremost, but then expect some shots, some deep shots down the field.
And that's the thing. You guys take stopping the run personally, but is it frustrating that that hasn't trickled over to your past event?
Yeah, it hasn't. You know, just looking back at the film in New Orleans, like 5 or 6 plays equaled up to like 160 some yards. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I said at the end of the game. Like, if we want to be a top defense, we have to eliminate those big plays. That's something we've talked about for years. I mean, I think it's something we just have to get done because we have the best, if one of the best, you know, run defenses with that front and you know, really just the whole front seven being able to stop the run. So if we want to be an elite defense in the secondary, we have to stop allowing those big plays.
So here's the thing with those big plays. I think it's going to be interesting. You look at Keenan Allen, you look at Mike Williams, you look at Quentin Johnson, Josh Palmer also. These are all like they're bigger receivers. Now, typically this Titans team, they tend to do better against those type of receivers as opposed to the little burners like Rashid Shaheed who ate them up. But the thing with Keenan Allen, and for those of you, right, David Long, you know how I am with David Long. I love watching him play. So it was fun watching that Dolphins and Chargers game. They got Keenan Allen matched up against David Long, and he hit him with an out and up, and it was a big gain. I say that to say this. The two most critical passing plays the Titans gave up were double moves. There aren't many receivers in the league, sans Stephon Diggs, Justin Jefferson, Devontae Adams. You put Keenan Allen in that category of outstanding route runners. He's just not as sudden as you know, Diggs and as Justin Jefferson, but he's still able to tempo his routes with the best of them. This is a week where those double moves could happen, and there has to be discipline from those guys on the outside. I also think that it's going to be really up to that pass rush to get there. Now, you saw what that Titans front was able to do, right? 4 sacks. You had, you know, Denico Autry got 1.5. Arden Key had 1.5. Should be 2.5. We talked about that. He was, man, listen, David, he was killing Trevor Penning. You hear me? Like,
I hear you.
Killing him. Yeah. To the point, like, it was like, when are you going to start helping that man? Like,
exactly, yeah.
I may have to call you for child abuse. You know what I mean? You're allowing him to get, he need to call it, the 800 line.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like the Shannon Sharp clip. It's like, hey, we're going to call National Guard. Call someone.
They need some help. But Arden Key was killing them. And then they started chipping. And, Jeffrey Simmons got chipped the most, but he was still got his. He had a sack. Like that, Harold Landry even had on one of Autry's pressures. I remember he had that outside rush, and he forced Carr to step up in the pocket. And those are those tiered, like those layered pass rush where you got guys coming off the edge, forcing that quarterback to step up. And, you know, if that pocket is being collapsed from the inside, which it is consistently with Autry and Simmons, you got something cooking. Here's Arden Key. I had to ask him because, you know, talking to him after the game, he was telling me how they were just kind of playing off of each other. And I'm like, wow, that's interesting because you guys never played a game together before. Here's Arden Key.
It's just, I think it was training camp, OTA, mini camp, just us rushing together, doing different things in practice, not knowing that it's not a game, but just us being vets in the room. No, okay, we should have did this. Okay, if you're going to stay high, you stay high, I'll cover you up. It's not a lot of, okay, we got a guy that's coming high. Okay, I changed my mind, let me come back under. Then we kind of, you know, then the end, try to come back under. He don't do that a lot. So it's just all about the camp reps and all the reps that we had. together.
What about film study? Like, you guys sit in a room and watch how offensive lines play and
in the room we watch the tackles, we watch the guard, and we kind of talk during the week what we're going to do on this specific play, what we see on this specific look, and then based off what we see, if Jeff say, okay, I'm going high this week, then I know, okay, I can threaten the edge, but if he do go high, then let me go under just to create, to get back the balance of the rush line.
That was really cool what he said about, we're just vets, we know what to do. You know, if I think that's very interesting, because, like, you know, you think about it, like, yeah, I know a quarterback and receiver, they'll watch film together, you know what I mean? But I don't typically think of a D tackle and outside linebacker together watching film, but here it is, that's what they're doing. I gave you the outside backer perspective. Let's get the defensive lineman, the interior guy, let's get his perspective.
I want to say it's the guys. I think it's the willing to work together. You know, and no matter if you're running a two-man game, four-man game, we all have to be on the same page. We all have to work together to be able to accomplish that goal. And that goal is to run a great game and get a sack. But, you know, everyone just not being selfish. Everyone working together. We're trying to get to one goal and just win. And I think last week showed that, you know, no one being selfish. Everybody on the same page.
After the game, Arden was talking about how it may not have always been a called stunt or whatnot. You guys were just playing off of each other naturally. What makes you able to do that so quickly?
I mean, it's the timing and camp. You know, that's what we work for. OTAs, camp, and so far on. I think that's what we practice for, being able to learn your teammates. Like, I know, like, right now, I know what Arden going to do. I know if I see this matchup over here on the right side, I know what's there. I know he's going to take it. And the same thing with me. He know if I'm rushing against the guard and I tell him, hey, I got him, like, he know that we're going to work together. He's going to cover me, I'm going to cover him, whatever it may be. You know, just that feeling, knowing that you can trust your guys on the field, that he'll make you right.
See what I'm saying? You're going to cover me, and I'll cover him. That's the key part. That even happens, you know, in the secondary. Right. I wonder, so you look, and not to get off topic, but I wonder if on that double move, if Chris was thinking that he was going to have more safety help over top. That's an example. Now, Kevin Byard is typically a guy that will erase a corner's mistake up front. It doesn't always happen, but either way, that pass rush and even against the run, man, we talk about them against the run. T.R. Tartt, man, he has developed such a quick swim move. And I remember it was a second down situation, and they tried to give the ball to Jamal Williams, and he swam Eric McCoy so quickly and got in that backfield and just threw Williams down. It was 3rd and 7. He had to come off the field. Arden Key came in. But, yeah, that front is something to watch, really something to watch. I want to see, you know, Azeez Al-Shaair, how much more of an impact he could have. This week I think is going to be critical, because you got – you know, the Chargers got this guy, right, Dylan Parham. He's 6'8", 240 pounds. You know, you're talking about 6'8".
6'8"?
Yeah. And so, and he's someone they threw a slant to, and they try to have him run a seam route in the red zone. So you got that. And you got Gerald Everett. I mean, this is a tight end that they have running end arounds and screening to and different things. So the linebackers are going to be important in this game, right? We'll see what happens with Christian Fulton. But definitely stay tuned as we continue to work through this week. We're going to actually take a break. Be right back. Time to get some receiver talk on Run TMC.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Run TMC. For you. Fresh.
Mm-hmm.
You said what you said.
Ooh. Strings. Music fades, lights dim. All right, here we go. It's coming. Coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Starting at center, from Sudan, number 10, Bo.
And now,
playing for the Denver Nuggets, Alex English.
I always think of a certain movie I know you haven't seen it called Amazing Grace.
No.
Go look at it. It's a great movie. Nevertheless, we got to get right into this game.
Let's do it,
right?
Man.
Because you look, it was a very frustrating loss for the Titans, 16-15. Just real quick, third down, it was 3rd and 6. There was a holding call that would have pushed it to 3rd and 11. Mike Vrabel declined the holding call. What are your thoughts on that? Because it would have put them out of field position.
Oh, I just think for me, if I'm the head coach, and I'm not bucking his authority, but the thing about it is you want to get them out of field goal, because if you look at the game, nobody was scoring points, so I would push them back and make them earn it and not try to go for the field goal.
Yeah, and that was earlier in the game, and at that point it was still a struggle for both teams.
It was.
Like, okay, in this instance, and this is just me making an assumption based on the call, in this instance you didn't trust your defense to stop them on 3rd and 11, but later it's 4th and 6, and they have the opportunity to get the touchdown because they're, you know, down there in the red zone. And he elects to kick the field goal to make it 16-15 as opposed to going for it and possibly getting the touchdown. Defense has to get the ball back, and then they got to score again.
Yeah, I don't think you go for them 4th and 6, because if you look at the track record of what the Tennessee Titans did that most of that game, is their third down conversion was terrible. So what do you think they're going to get on 4th down? They were 2 for 12 on 3rd down. I just don't think that you put yourself in position to go for it on 4th down, you miss it, and don't get points. Because if you look at the game, it was 16-15, so points were coming in scarcity.
Exactly. And that 2 for 12 that you're talking about, that's 16%. That's well below league standards. And to me, you know, I really felt that this was an example of why Mike Vrabel is such a magnificent coach.
Right.
And I'm not sitting here trying to pump him up, but when I asked him about the analytics versus feel, he was like, man, I did it off of feel. And just to have that emotional intelligence to understand, like, hey, look, I don't need a stat sheet, like a formula to tell me. I could tell my guys have been struggling on 3rd down in these situations. Right. I'm not going to put him in that again. I think that was a really good thing. And a part of those struggles offensively, Ryan Tannehill, the quarterback play, as a group, you know, there's a lot that was left on the table.
Yeah, but see, the thing about it is, Derrick Henry, when he did his press conference, he said this thing. He said, we need all 11 guys on the same page. So if you're playing offense and you're thinking about going for it on 4th and 6, but all the guys are not in sync, all the guys are not doing what they're supposed to do, and the offensive line is struggling, the receivers, you know, are struggling to get open a little bit, why put yourself in position to go to 4th and 6, get the Saints the ball, they get a long drive, they score, and now they had the momentum.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? You look on paper as 3 interceptions, but as we know, every interception has its own story.
Right. Yeah.
And if you look at the first one, it did, like, he threw it into double covers. But,
yeah.
I mean, if you go back and you watch, like, the end zone cop, man, Andre Dillard got exploded upon. You know what I mean? And it was not an opportunity for Tannehill to really get into the throw. He threw it to the left side. Guess who the left tackle is? Andre Dillard, right? And he couldn't step into the throw. He had to kind of, like, work around Dillard getting, you know, bulldozed.
Yeah, and it was an uncomfortable throw. I mean, the thing about it is when you're uncomfortable in the pocket and you have happy feet and you can't step into the throw, those mistakes are going to happen. If you look at the whole scenario of what's going on, you know, Tannehill couldn't even go through his progression. He couldn't even go through his read to see actually who was open. And the reason why he threw it to Hopkins, because when we were in OTAs, when we were in camp, when they were going against the Minnesota Vikings, he just threw the ball up because he knew that Hopkins was going to catch the ball, because that's a camaraderie that had. But that was practice. It's a totally different thing when you're going to get hit. You're going to get hit in the mouth, and you had to stand in there and make a throw.
And that's 100% the truth. And then you look at, you know, the communication and the timing that has to be there. And there were situations where, obviously, you know, it wasn't. And you look at that interception to the right.
Yeah.
Tannehill threw it. And, you know, normally as receivers, you know what it is. If I'm even, I'm leaving.
Even, I'm leaving.
Normally that's the case. But in this case, you know, it was more of a back shoulder throw. And Tannehill threw it when they were even, thinking that Hopkins would do what he does, right? Turn into Dennis Rodman and get the rebound, you know, but that's not what happened. He ran a little bit further and it ended up being a pick.
And I think it starts in the huddle, TD. I think that, you know, Tannehill should have whispered to Hopkins, hey, listen, hey, if it's something's kind of iffy or something's kind of quirky, then I'm going to make a back shoulder throw. But they've been in sync from day one to where, in my mind, the Tannehill's thinking that that's what he's going to do. Because if I'm a wide receiver and I have a back shoulder throw, I never want to be on top of the receiver. If I'm on top of the receiver, it can't be a back throw because who's going to be trailing me?
Yeah.
The defensive back. I want to be beside him so now I can keep my eye on the ball so when it's thrown behind me, I can adjust to making the play. Because if we look at OTAs and we look at camp, that's exactly where Tannehill was throwing the ball. So even in practice, he did that. And in the game, he thought the exact same thing.
Right. They're looking for the ear hole or the back of the
yes.
helmet. That's how
yes.
the targeting goes. Now, one other thing that kind of Tannehill, his happy feet, right? And I asked him about it. There were times where there were throws that were there. He right. looked at it, and it was like he didn't believe it. It was very Marcus Mariota-like, to be frank.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and there was one. It was a deep in-breaking route. Not a deep, but a mid-range in-breaking route. And Hopkins, you know, he had the DB on his outside hip, and he just made that move, and he was going to come inside. It came open, but Tannehill
yeah.
didn't throw it.
You know, I think, you know, and I may be wrong, but I think that, you know, mentally he's not over the injury he had last year. You know, when you're in 7-on-7, when you're in going against scrimmages against other teams, you're not getting hit. If you look at last year, when he hurt his ankle, he got twisted up and fell to the ground, and he hurt his ankle. Mm-hmm. So if you watch some of the plays, if you watch some of the times where he tries to get out of the pocket, it's like he's trying to protect his ankle so nobody hurts his ankle. So if you have that in your mind, if you have that in your psyche, it's kind of tough to go to your progression. It's kind of tough for you to make that right, though, because you have those happy feet.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And there were times where he was running into sacks.
Man,
you know.
I know.
The offensive line, they started out, they had their struggles, right? I pointed to the Dillard one. But then they started to set that pocket pretty well. But there were times where Tannehill, instead of stepping up, he stepped to the side and was just – it wasn't good. But you talk about pocket being impacted. That's exactly – what you have from the Titans, D linemen, their front, period. You know, Jeffrey Simmons had a sack. Arden Key, 1.5. Denico Autry, 1.5. What stood out to you about them?
Man, they're just nasty. They're relentless. They're physical. They're fast. And I'm going to tell you something. I love Jeffrey Simmons. I love Archie, but Arden Key brings a different thing. He brings
juice.
That thigh out. He brings mm-hmm. that juice. Exactly. That juice, that nastiness. He's one of those guys, you say this all the time and I laugh, he's one of those guys that you're glad he's on your team, but in practice you want to fight him
mm-hmm.
because he talks so much trash. But when he's on your team, you're glad he's on your team. But he's one of those guys that sets the tone. I mean, when he got when he got that sack, I mean, it just juiced the whole defense. He
yep.
makes everybody better. He makes Archie better. He makes Simmons better. He makes Weaver better. He makes all these guys that are on the line because you feel him on the field. You feel him when he's running. You feel him when he's tackling. You feel him when he's chirping at the team. Those are the kind of cats that you want on your team.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And he had what should have been a strip sack. I don't know what these refs were looking at. That's a whole different story. But the thing that really stood out to me is, like, when you have a guy that brings that juice off the edge, like, the tackle is naturally antsy, you know what I mean? And at times,
absolutely.
Like, you have to help that tackle as well. And when you get into doing all that extra stuff, then your games come up front. You know, he could have that outside move, mm-hmm. stick his outside foot, and then come back inside, and then you got Simmons or Archer, whoever may be, looping outside. The
mm-hmm.
thing that was so crazy to me, and this is why I love being in the locker room, getting to talk to these guys,
mm-hmm.
I never even thought of the fact that Arden Key, Jeffrey Simmons, they never played a game together before.
Wow.
But here it was. They were just playing off of each other naturally. Those stunts and twists, the games, they weren't always called situations.
Right. You know what's cool? If you watch different teams, some of them do the exact same thing. If you watch, like, the linebacker go and tap, you know, the nose tackle or the other tackle
mm-hmm.
and tap him on the side, he's letting them know, that's the side I'm going to. So it's just communication and playing with each other and getting to know each other. Just imagine 5 games from now, if they keep doing what they're doing, how good this defensive front could be.
It's going to be a problem. And then to just have that freedom within the scheme, and that's what I like about
there
Shane Bowen, Terrell Williams, what they do. You know, these guys can trust that, okay, if I slant to this gap, you know, this my rushing lane that I'm abandoning, that area is going to be covered by someone else. And that gives you all the more opportunity to really, not freelance, but to just play naturally, instinctively.
Yeah, but it's still, you made a great point, but it's still in the compounds of what they're doing.
Right.
You know, and I think that Shane Bowen allows those guys, because these are veteran guys. These guys know what they're doing. They trust. They know that they're supposed to be where they're supposed to be. But here's the thing that I love, too, also, TD, is when Arden Key is supposed to be in a spot, he gets there in a quick way.
In a hurry. Speaking of being in a hurry, I know we are in this case, but before we get you out of it, listen, what are your thoughts on this game? Is this a bounce-back game for Ryan Tannehill for the Titans?
Yeah, it is, and I think, and it's just my opinion, I think this is the most important game of the year, and I'm going to tell you why.
Mm.
You lost 7 games last year, and I'm not going back in the past. You lost 7 games last year. You lost a game this year. That's 8 games that you lost in a row. So this game right here, you got to finally get the bad taste out of your mouth. When I say get the bad taste out of your mouth, to say, you know what, we lost all these games. We don't want to have that in the mind that can we win? You just don't need that. So now you're coming to this game, still not sure about the offensive line. Everybody's mad at Tannehill. You know, saying they need, you know, the receivers are not doing this and all this crazy stuff. You go down here and get a win, it takes that taste out of their mouth, and now you can build upon that.
Do they get the win?
I think they do, because I think the reason why I say they get the win is because I think this coaching staff is going to prepare those guys. For Mike Vrabel, you know, Coach London, Charles London, the OC, the quarterbacks coach. You know, you got the offensive line coach, Jason Hodling. You know, they're going to make sure that they get these guys ready. Pay attention to the details. Watch film. You know, look at their tendencies. What can they do to get better? Get healthy. All these things to where this is going to be a team that's going to come out fired up.
It's going to be a great game. And you mentioned watching film. In between watching film, I sat my daughter Simone down, and I wanted her to see a movie. And it's, it was called Blade. And she's watching what's going on, and that guy was going through, and he was doing all types of things. And she said, you know what? That guy you do the show with, he's a bad mamma jamma. I said, hey, baby, Momo, that's not Chris Sanders. That's Wesley Snipes.
Man, get off my phone, man.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Byard, and I'm talking with TD. California,
yeah. All right, back from the break, talking with TD. You know what we do every week? We got to get what's going on with the Titans' opponent this week. We're going to look at the L.A. Chargers, and you hear the California love music. We're going to bring in my guy, Jeff Miller of the LA Times. He covers the Chargers. Jeff, what's going on?
I'm glad to report that in the last day and a half, the Chargers have not given up any more passing yards after Sunday. So they're improving.
Well, listen, man, when you have those road runners out there, it's tough to stop them. That's what I tell, you know, a lot of Titans fans are like, they gave up almost 500 passing yards. The Titans are going to have no problem passing. I'm like, well, you know, Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, they're not walking through that door.
Yeah, I've covered this team. This is the 6th season, so I've seen a lot of Tyreek Hill, and I've seen him do that to this team a whole bunch of times. So you're right about that. Those two guys are certainly special. I don't think that was the greatest matchup to start the season for the Chargers secondary. Let's just say that.
One thing that I think will at least try to be carried over from that game to this matchup with the Titans is running the football. And I saw Austin Eckler. He has said that there's an emphasis on running the ball. I mean, look, 234 yards rushing, 40 carries. I mean, 8 out of the first 15 plays, they were rushing running attempts. Is that something that you're noticing, and has that been a theme throughout the OTAs, mini camp, training camp, and through this first game?
Yeah, they talked all offseason after they hired Kellen Moore to be their new offensive coordinator. They talked the whole time for months about we've got to run the ball. Everyone knows that. The way the last season ended, they lost that playoff game in Jacksonville largely because they couldn't run the ball in the second half. They couldn't protect that lead. So that was a huge emphasis was, you know, we've got to be able to establish a run and be able to, when we need to run the ball, we have to be able to do that. And Sunday, part of that, you know, was the Dolphins were playing, you know, with two deep safeties. They basically were not going to let Justin Herbert just fling the ball over their heads. So, they gave the Chargers some of that, but to the Chargers' credit, they took full advantage of it. And, you know, 40 rushes when you have Justin Herbert as your quarterback, and A few of those were Herbert scrambling, but I mean, their two running backs carried 16 times apiece. So you know, when you have Herbert as your quarterback and you're able to rely on the run that much and you're running it that well that you're going to do it that much, that you know that does bode well for the rest of the season for the Chargers, I think.
Yeah, and that's a lot of discipline to have a quarterback that expensive and going with basically what the defense is giving you. But it ended up really helping them be in this game. I want to ask you this, though, with Austin Eckler. Obviously, towards the end, he had that ankle injury. What's the latest with him that you have?
I tell you, it's a really strange situation with Austin because his agent passed away over the weekend,
yeah.
Cameron Weiss. So just so people understand, these guys were really close. It wasn't just, you know, business relationship. They were together, you know, from when Austin was playing at Western State in Colorado. So they were very close. Austin's not at the Chargers. He's not with the team right now. He's at the funeral. He's kind of dealing with that. So it's a big deal. It's not just, like I said, it's not just a guy who he worked with in a business side. They had a very, you know, close personal relationship. So there's that element involved in here too. Regarding Austin's ankle, we don't really know, not having seen him. He did come back in after injuring himself on Sunday. But then the last series, when they were trying to come back and win the game, he did not play. He was not out there as Joshua Kelly. So he obviously wasn't able to finish that game in that last series, which, as you know, anybody who follows NFL knows, that's a pretty big deal if he couldn't finish the game when they were trying to win there. So I wish I had a better answer for you, but right now, in terms of Austin's health, I don't know that any of us are going to really know much. Hopefully Thursday we'll see him out there and we'll know more. But right now, I don't know. We'll see what they say after practice. But as of right now, is health-wise, his status is just up in the air.
Yeah, and definitely condolences to his agent's family and everything. That's I didn't even think about that. I totally forgot about that. So that's a good point. Joshua Kelly is a guy that I liked coming out of UCLA, seeing him grow, and now he's playing a significant role. How has his progress been as far as getting to this point where, you know, he gets 16 carries, 91 yards?
Yeah, he came in as a rookie and started off well. The problem was he had a couple of fumbles early on. And you know how that goes, especially when you're a young running back. You're not going to be able to play. If they can't trust you to hang on to the ball, you're not going to be able to play. So that really cut into his playing time, and it took a while for him to sort of get through that, get over that, and to kind of reestablish trust with the coaching staff. And obviously, it's a new coaching staff now. They've always praised Josh. He's a real hard worker. Everyone loves him. He's a really good. I won't say kid, but he's a really good young man. Let me say that. And so he's one of these guys everybody roots for, and he's been productive when he's healthy and can play. He's been productive. So it was good to see him Sunday get some extended run there and get a chance to show what he can do. Cause we've seen it in stretches. And if he can stay healthy, and especially if with Austin's situation with his ankle, he could have a very significant role on Sunday.
And we're talking to LA Times Chargers reporter Jeff Miller. Jeff, I want to just quickly look at the receiver core. Quentin Johnston was a first-round pick. Looks like the local guy, Joshua Palmer, out of University of Tennessee, he's held his spot. How is that rotation working? Is it a situation where Johnston is expected to eventually supplant him, or are they just going to rotate those four guys?
I think right now they consider that to be, you know, a real depth position. They got four guys they all believe in and I think they can count on. So I think it's going to be a kind of an evolving thing throughout the season. Quentin had some drop issues, you know, in college and then also during training camp this season. So he's still in that still on that sort of part of the curve where he's trying to gain Justin Herbert's trust gain the trust of the coaches so they know they can put him in there in certain situations. They have, every time we're asked, they're asked about it, they assure us he's going to be fine. He can catch the ball. It's not an issue. You know, you guys are making too big of a deal out of it, which maybe we are. I mean, that does happen, believe it or not. But I think that's kind of where that is. You mentioned Josh Palmer. He didn't get a lot of chances on Sunday. So that's something where they may try to go back to him, and because he really came through for them last year, and when they had some injuries and needed somebody to take over, he did that very well. He gained a lot of fans in that locker room and on this coaching staff with what he did last season.
Does Keenan Allen, does he still have the juice? Is he still able to start and stop and start again the way he used to?
You know, he's still pretty good at it. He's still a great route runner, and this is a guy, he works super hard. He's in ridiculous shape, so you can understand why he could extend his career. And not that he's super old. I mean, he's been in the league for a while, but he's not an ancient player by any stretch of imagination. But he's still got some juice. He can get open. He's still tough to cover. And, one thing about him is Herbert loves throwing it to him because you get it within his grasp and he usually is going to hold on to it. Doesn't matter traffic, no traffic, whatever it is. He's very reliable. He's still a threat, and especially third down. You know, Herbert's a lot. You know, he's looking his way an awful lot.
Flipping it to the other side of the ball, you look at Khalil Mack, you look at Joey Bosa, and I mean, these are names, right? It's a name. That's a name brand right there, as far as the pass rush is concerned. Is that name brand still among the top ones, though?
That's a really good question. We've been waiting, you know, just to see these two together and see what it might look like when they're both flourishing, and we just haven't seen it yet. Bosa got hurt last year and missed a good chunk of the season, so it really never had a chance to happen last year. On Sunday against the Dolphins, there was some pressure, not a ton. Tua was getting rid of the ball awfully quick, which the teams are always doing. There's a pass rush situation. We're still waiting to see a real dominant game where these guys really are flying on both sides simultaneously and seeing what that looks like. It hasn't happened yet. Khalil Mack, he's another one who's in ridiculous shape for his age. You know, for having been around as long as he is, you look at him, you know, this is his 10th season, I think. And he still looks, you know, he's thick, but has like no fat on his body. It's incredible. And Bosa's in great shape too. And he's talked about he's healthier than he's been in a long time. Had a surgery last season that he thinks cleared up a lot of things in his core he has been dealing with. So we've been waiting to see it. The answer is it hasn't been spectacular yet, but it's something that I think the Chargers are hoping and they believe at some point this season we're gonna finally see it. But to this point, it hasn't been anything that we've seen, in any kind of spectacular way yet.
Now, that defense, those guys obviously are a big part of the defense, and the defense is a big part of the team. It's for every team, but Brandon Staley is known as a defensive coach, like a defensive, I don't want to say mastermind, but almost like that's what he was hired for. With this team struggling the way that they have at times defensively, what's up with Staley? Is it a matter where he's on the hot seat?
Well, it's funny. This was not what any of us anticipated when they hired him. That everyone thought, well, this is a defensive coach. Their defense is going to be great. It's just taken a while. His first year, they brought in a bunch of new people, and they kind of focused building the offensive line a little more and sort of that side of the ball. They brought in some people on defense. It took them another season to bring in some more people and to kind of get this thing a little more engineered, built the way that Staley wants it to be built. Now we go into year three, and all throughout training camp we asked these same questions, and we were told, yeah, this is, we've got our guys now, that we've got continuity. There's only, you know, Eric Kendricks, linebacker, is really the only real new starter. There's this, you know, Lloyd Gilman, the safety, has taken over for another guy. So there's basically two new starters, or maybe a starter and a half, if you want to look at it that way. So they've got the continuity. They say they've got the players, and we'll see how it goes. But, I mean, that against the Dolphins, that was about as pathetic a pass defense and performance as I've ever seen. And I mean, this franchise has never had an opposing quarterback throw for that many yards in a game. So they were really bad on Sunday. Now, this is going to be, you know, this league is a league of responding, right, from one week to the next. And so, I would expect them they've got to respond in a big way, because that was really a disaster on Sunday. The secondary just was, they were really poor. Everybody back there had a bad game all at once. And, you know, I'm sure part of that was scheme. Part of it was, you know, obviously what the Dolphins were doing. Part of it's Tyreek Hill doing what he does. But it was an embarrassing performance on Sunday.
Yeah, it was basically a track meet. That's for sure.
It was, and they got smoked.
Before I get you out of here, what are the things I love when Kevin Byard, the Titan safety, he signed a contract a few years ago, and he was like, man, ain't nothing changed but the change. Obviously, Justin Herbert signed a contract. You're around him every day. You've seen just, you know, how he's progressed from a pup to now $200 million. Regardless, it was a whole lot of money. Let's put it that way. Has there been more pressure? Does he feel like there's more pressure on him?
You know, if he does, he's one of these guys. He doesn't show it. I don't think any of that stuff bothers him. I really don't. I think he's wired. I think part of the reason why the Chargers are so happy to have him, beyond the fact that he's got a great arm and he's really a fast processor and all that stuff, is he seems to be wired in a way where none of that stuff seems to bother him. I don't think if he feels any outside pressure, any extra burden, he hides it well, because he has not changed from what we can tell, you know, in terms of any of that stuff at all. Like, he still seems exactly the same. He's very level. He's very, his news conferences typically are pretty boring. He's pretty straightforward. He's, you know, he talks like a football coach in a lot of ways. But I don't think, if he struggles, it's not going to be because of the weight of a contract, I don't think. I just don't think he's kind of like, I think he could just pull that aside and it doesn't even enter into his thinking, to be honest with you.
That's really good, and he's a guy that obviously is among the top quarterbacks in the nation, in the league, so looking forward to seeing the Chargers this weekend. If you come out this way, man, definitely hit me up. I'll tell you some spots to go to for the food, for the drinks, if you get into that, but definitely make sure you hit me up when you come out here. And ladies and gentlemen, you could check him out at Jeff Miller, L-A-T, on Twitter. Definitely check some of the stuff out. He has multiple posts up there. Jeff, I really appreciate you.
No problem. Thanks for having me. And, we'll look forward to a nice weekend in Nashville. Looking forward to it.
Absolutely. A lot of dope input right there from Jeff Miller, the L.A. Times, the Chargers reporter. I enjoyed some of the things that he said about that rushing attack, and it's going to be interesting. I think that if there's a key matchup, that's going to be it. Will they force the Chargers to throw the football? And doing that, going against what was a 32nd ranked pass offense defense last year, and a defense that gave up 300 yards rather in the season opener. I'm looking forward to that matchup. So appreciate Jeff Miller getting into that with us. Definitely appreciate Chris Sanders. Got some receiver talk there. Appreciate David James making
this
happen. Yes,
sir. Always fun, buddy.
Above all else, I appreciate each of you. Make sure you check out Whiteboard Wednesday. Week two is up. Definitely have Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry posts up there as well on ESPN.com. Let's keep rocking through this. Appreciate each of you for tuning in. If you haven't, search Talking with TD. Subscribe, rate, review.
We appreciate you.